is Michael Adams. He's here a couple days early because on Friday, Ansel Adams, distant relative, his father, will be inducted into the, is it International Photography Hall of Fame?
But I have to correct you.
No,
he was
no,
inducted.
You don't. You don't have. We don't need to start like this.
He was inducted 50 years ago, and I'm here to give a talk about him to the.
It's a little late to induct him. One
would
think.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. My bad.
Happy to be here.
When did we get the Hall of Fame? That's new, isn't it?
From what I understand, it's about 50 plus years old. And it's only been in St. Louis for 5 years.
Okay. All right. So I'm not.
And that's where, yeah.
Well, we had the Bowling Hall of Fame, and then it left us, and it went to Dallas, I think. And in the same fell swoop, we lost the Dog Museum. So it was kind of a 1-2 punch, really hit you in the gut. But we got the Photography Hall of Fame. So Ansel Adams is your dad.
Yes.
Do you have a family scrapbook? Because I bet it's awesome. Did he not take pictures
yes,
of the family?
Yes, not a scrapbook per se, but I've got a lot of family memorabilia and pictures from several generations. And it's kind of fun to see them, put them together.
But would he drag you to the mall to get your picture with Santa? Like the photos that we had? I mean, here's a guy who took the most amazing landscape shots in the world. I would think taking you to a mall to get a picture with Santa would be dull to him.
I don't think he would have done that. So I don't remember.
You don't have any pictures with Santa?
Nope.
I'm sorry. I didn't. Are you Jewish?
No.
That's not the reason? Okay.
No.
All right. Well, then we'll talk about something else. So every year my kids come home with their class pictures. And they always have the crappy fake backgrounds. The brick or a tree that you know isn't real. So when you were in school and they would send home the family pictures, I would think Dad would be a little critical going, this is terrible. I'm not buying this.
Well, he probably was. And rarely he would take pictures of me or my sister. Actually, he took more pictures probably of his grandchildren over the years than he ever did of his own children.
I think most grandparents would say the same thing. That's pretty typical. Yeah. Do you have a camera?
I do. I have a digital camera.
When did you? I fought it for a long time, going from film to digital. I just liked the tangibility of film. I mean, digital was around 15 years before I'm like, all right, I'm getting one.
I like digital. I think it's been a lot of fun. It certainly simplifies life.
Do you use film at all?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I did for a long time, 35 millimeter primarily.
I bet you got a good eye. I bet they're both pretty good. But did you pursue photography?
No, I didn't.
Semi-professionally?
I went a very different route, and photography was just something to play with. As I grew up,
your father's work hangs in basically every major important museum in the world, and it's largely landscape, black and white.
It's almost primarily black and white. However, he did a lot of color,
and people don't know about that. He did.
The problem with color in his day is he had no control. After taking the picture, the film went to Kodak for processing, and he lost his personal touch.
There wasn't Adobe Photoshop at the time.
No, there wasn't. He did say, and I read this just recently, that he thinks that if he'd started color when before and had the opportunity to work with it and processing it, he would have probably done a lot more. We would have seen a lot more of his work.
Yeah. So when you look at your dad's work, what comes to mind? Are you looking at the picture or does your memory go back to him?
No, it's both, I think. I went with him on a lot of his trips to take photographs, and some of his most famous photographs, I was there, and I remember the event. But I look at the scenery, probably. I'm fascinated with what he took a picture of and the quality of the image that I'm seeing today many years later.
Friday, a chance to get together with Michael and talk about his father and his father's work. It is Ansel Adams, A Son's Perspective. It will be Friday. part of the induction 50 years later into the International Photographers Hall of Fame. It'll be down in Grand Center. And if you go to the website, IPHF, International Photography Hall of Fame.org, you get the skinny. It's only $20 if you'd like to go, and you should. And I imagine you'll have slides as well as some of his
photos. I have
a
wonderful digital show of his work. Mm-hmm. And you can see not only his early work, but some of the most iconic images. But I also have a video of a climb that he took with my mother before they were married in Yosemite, 1927, where he took probably one of his most famous pictures, the monolith, the face of Half Dome.
Right.
And my mother took 16-millimeter movies of that. And we've had them digitized, and they were part of this little 2.5-minute video. And we also include Ansel's playing the piano, which is what he started out to be, as
really?
A concert pianist. And it was he was in his 30s before he really switched to photography as a career.
No
kidding. So we have recordings done actually in the 40s that we've been able to tap into the little video.
Why do you think as many photographers that have surfaced since, there's really only a handful that are household names? And when you get into landscape and you get into black and white, there's only your father. When we know a lot of people have done it, why does his work still remain so extraordinary?
Well, number one is it's exquisitely produced. He was a genius in doing the work and bringing the photography to the world, in a sense. And his work, not just only in taking the photograph and knowing what to do, but his work in the darkroom to enhance it, to make it something special, is unique. And I demonstrate that in my talk, showing a picture, probably his most famous pictures, Moonrise Hernandez in New Mexico, which was done in 1941. And I can show you from a straight photograph with no manipulation in the darkroom to what he did to bring that thing up as a very special, beautiful image.
Where are some of his early cameras and lenses? Do you still have all of that?
We have one camera, but most of his... Well, most of his cameras and basically all his negatives went to the University of Arizona in Tucson. And his archive is there, and they're the recipients of all of that.
Did he have, I remember as a kid, the Instamatic and the Pronto that came out, where all of a sudden you could take a picture, wave this little piece of film in your hand, hold it under a light, and oh my God, there's the image of what we just took. And initially, we couldn't even wrap our brain around that concept.
Well, I think you're thinking of the Polaroids.
The Polaroids.
Brand, yeah.
What did he think of that?
He loved it.
Really?
And he became an early advocate of the Polaroid process. He worked with Dr. Land, who had developed the camera. And from the late 40s, 49, on until he died, really, he was a consultant to Polaroid and helped them with the Polaroid color as it was developed, and the Polaroid, the larger format Polaroid. And he got very much involved with it, loved working with it, and was very impressed.
That's surprising to me, because I would think that would be like asking the great chefs of the world, what do you think of Rice-A-Roni? You know?
Well, it was something new, and he was fascinated with it. And
Promoted photography.
But it was something that you could, as you mentioned, you could show somebody right away. You didn't have to wait until it was taken to the darkroom.
Yeah.
But to further that story, a year or two before he died, we have an interview from BBC where they talked about electronic photography, the digital camera. And he knew it was coming. And he knew enough about it to recognize that this was going to be something new for the world, and I think he would have absolutely loved to be a part of it.
Oh, and the thousands of pictures you can take.
Yes.
You know, and say, well, this may not work out, but I'm going to just keep taking shots and taking
shots.
Because you don't have to think about the film. So how old of a young man were you when your father passed?
He died in 84,
right,
at the age of 82.
Uh-huh.
So I was about 50.
All right. So you were.
So I've been around.
So I'm curious as to what kind of man he was, because I don't want to overgeneralize, but it has been my experience that people that excel in arts like that, that are so personal, like photography, not a group sport.
No.
That's you and your eye and the lens and your subject. Those people, by and large, tend to be relatively introverted, and that is how they express themselves, as opposed to the people that are gregarious and loud, like me, that don't have any artistic talents.
I don't think he was really introverted. I think he was a significant extrovert.
Really?
He was a person that loved people. He loved being around people. He loved the social part of the world. He could do his photography, and much of that was by himself or with an assistant. But when he left the dark room, he could be a part of the crowd. He could be a part of things at home or parties. He enjoyed other people very much. And he enjoyed many different fields and enjoyed reading and hearing about other things.
Yeah. I know you, I asked you already, you didn't travel down that road professionally.
No.
So I'm thinking, well, other than overseeing the estate and all that, I wonder what Mike's been up to.
Well,
you're a doctor. You were a pilot in the Air Force.
Yes.
You did a lot of different things.
I did. And one of the things that Ansel said a year or so before he died, he said, gosh, I wish if I could do it over again, I'd like to be a pilot and a doctor.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate that he didn't, but that he stayed with photography.
Yeah.
But he was fascinated by it. And I'm sure he lived a little bit vicariously hearing stories of that. And
I'm sure that people that tend bar for a living and they go to a party, somebody will say, hey, you tend bar, would you make me a gin and tonic? People just assume, oh, well, that's what you want to do because you know how to do it in your sleep. I bet there were a fair amount of people. You still don't know where this is going, do you?
No.
I don't either. I bet there were a fair amount of people that came up to your dad saying, you know, you take pictures, Ansel. Would you mind doing a family photo shoot for us? I would think that infuriated him.
I know people came up to him, and if they asked him, he would very generously usually take a picture with their camera of their group.
I'd ask him because I have no boundaries at all. What are you doing now?
I'm retired. I'm retired from my medical practice.
Yeah.
And up until just recently, I was teaching with the University of California, San Francisco medical program in Fresno, just as a volunteer, and taking care of the archives, I guess you would say. And I give talks here and there about my dad's work. I'm happy, always happy to do that.
But if really, your house, don't worry, you didn't tell me where you lived in Carmel. But if I came to your house and just kind of walked around, would I get a sense of your legacy?
You would. Of Ansel's legacy, primarily.
Well, family.
Yeah, the family. We were very fortunate in buying the family house that my parents had built in the early 60s Carmel. And my wife and I live there now, and we've kept it up. Actually, you could walk into the dark room today, and it's basically like the way he walked out of it. We've kept that as sort of a monument, if you want to think of that.
But
we didn't
wonderful.
Want to change it, and you can actually smell some of the chemicals if you walk in the door. So we're very fortunate to live in that house, and it's a wonderful experience.
Are there a lot of originals of your pop's work out there or no?
Yes, there are. They're in many different collections. So we have a number. My sister has a number of them, of course. But University of Arizona, the Center for Creative Photography, In Tucson has the biggest collection, and then many museums have very large collections of Ansel's work.
I think I'm going to have to call in sick on Friday because I want to
come on down.
I want to hang with you some more. Is that okay?
Please. Yeah, I think it'd be good. We welcome you.
And when do you want me to come out to Carmel and visit again?
Well, next time you're in California, give us a call.
This will be on Friday. Now you're hurting my feelings. Okay. Noon to 1:30 in the afternoon. It'll be an extraordinary afternoon. Michael Adams will be your host talking about Dad's work, put on by the International Photography Hall of Fame or the IPHF.org for more information online. $20 for tickets if you're a member, $25 if you are not. It's down in Grand Center. And by all means, please go. Where is a website of your dad's work and a best place to see the gallery?
Probably www.anseladams.com.
Okay.
And that's the Ansel Adams Gallery in Yosemite with a large collection of his work and current information about his work and a lot of photographs also available some original, but many of them are duplicates or replica type.
A book out from you or coming, or is there one? Or
not
you,
from me.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, the Ansel's publishers were Little Brown Company, and they have the exclusive rights to all of his work, and they are still producing some books. I don't know of a new one coming out. There have been some reprints of some of his earlier work.
Well, I want the stories. I want the stories of you going on shoots and climbing and dad and playing the piano.
Those are in things like the autobiography that he did and some of the other books about him.
Yeah.
And he did quite a bit of work talking about how he did things and also photographic education. He did a series of books on education.
Well, I sense he was a very fascinating man as well as diverse in his interests, and I don't think the apple fell very far from the tree.
Thank you.
Thank you for making time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Enjoy your stay here. We'll see you on Friday.
Thank you. I hope.
IPHF.org. Yeah, I'm calling in sick on Friday. I'm coming down to hang with you.
Good.
It'll be a nice luncheon down in Grand Center.